Okay, Acts chapter 3. And I want to talk to you about the difference between forgiveness and remission. Forgiveness and remission. There's a lack of understanding about these terms among much of Christianity, partly through bad Bible scholarship and partly through ignorance of even preachers too. But let's see what the Bible says, and maybe we can figure some things out. Now, in Acts chapter 2, of course, was the day of Pentecost, and Peter began to preach with the 12, with the 11, I should say, and spoke about the fact that Israel had crucified Jesus Christ, and, you know, they were guilty of his murder. But he summarizes his message in a very famous verse of Scripture that many churches quote for their salvation message, if you will. I've seen it on signs, church signs, and it says, obey Acts 2:38. Well, let's see if we can do that. Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, every time I see a sign that says, obey Acts 2:38, I always wonder why it doesn't say obey the rest of that chapter, as in verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. So I would think if you're going to obey Acts 2:38, you would want to obey the rest of it as well. But that's another subject. He said, repent in verse 38 and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, and that would have been with water. And then he says, for the remission of sins. And so along comes the Bible scholar, and he says that the Greek word there, whatever it is, I don't know how to pronounce it, is forgiveness, that it's the same word. But forgiveness and remission are different words in English, as Benoit was pointing out there. It's simple to see. Like if you have cancer that's in remission, it's not gone. Okay? It still can cause a problem. It's a good thing if it's in remission, but it's not wiped out or cured, as they might say. And I might even mention blotted out. Well, plenty of words in English have more than one meaning, as in the word pitch. We're just randomly picking an English word here. P-I-T-C-H can mean different things depending on how you use it. You can pitch a tent. You can pitch a fit. You can throw a baseball, and it's called a pitch. You can use pitch to seal something. It's like a tar material. You can sing off pitch, or you can measure the pitch of a roof. I mean, there's so many things you could use. In that one word, they mean vastly different things. Well, other languages have similar words that have more than one meaning. I think the term is homonym, and except in this case, it would be the exact same spelling as well. But they sound the same but have different meanings. New Testament Greek is no exception. In fact, we looked at a word this morning in our church service that is in Romans chapter 6, and you don't have to turn there. It's just another example. If you want to check it out later, you can. But in Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about yielding yourselves, servants, to righteousness, and not yielding your members as servants to sin. And the word yield there is also translated as present, as in Romans 12, verse 1, that says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, they have very similar meanings, but they're used in different ways. You know, to yield is to indicate that you're making yourself servant to something, and then to present your body as a living sacrifice involves a yielding, but you are doing it. You sort of have command of the action there. So the word that was translated remission may be the same Greek word that's also translated forgiveness, but the King James translators were led by the Holy Ghost to put remission there for a reason. And here's the reason. Let's look in Acts chapter 3. Acts 3. And in Acts chapter 3, Peter preaches a very similar message to the one he preached in Acts 2. And he concludes that message in about verse 19 with these words. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, what I'm interested in is the word blotted out. It's not the word forgiveness that I'm aware of, and I know it's not the word remission or whatever the in English, of course, whatever the Greek thing is, it says blotted out. But the indication there is something different. What I'm particularly interested in is what this refers to and when. And I'll go to some Old Testament verses in a minute to show you when. But notice he says that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Okay, it looks like sins are going to be blotted out in the times of refreshing. Well, when is that? Look in verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So whenever the times of refreshing are, it's going to be when he sends Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to return to the earth, and he's in heaven right now, but he will come back during the times of restitution. And it has to do with when God is going to restore things to Israel. Remember, I'm mentioning this because this is when these sins that Peter's referring to are going to be blotted out. So we're going to go into some detail about that, but what I want to pose to you is this thought. If Peter knew that sins would not be blotted out until the times of refreshing should come, and that involves the second coming of Jesus Christ, and we can go to the holy prophets to see these things, then he could not have said, repent and be baptized for forgiveness of sins. Because he would have been out of the will of God and contrary to Scripture to say that the water baptizing done would wash away or blot out sins.